Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome to the Intercooler Podcast.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 149 of the Intercooler Podcast with Dan Prosser and my co-host Andrew Frankel. Now we're playing our daft game for petrol heads again. The right car for the job, it's called. It's the game that we made up a few weeks ago. We've made some improvements. We're playing it again this week with a special guest. Our friend and fellow car journalist and TI contributor Colin Goodwin joins us for this one. So it's a fun game. I think it's a fun episode. Let us know what you think and enjoy the episode. Welcome to the podcast, Colin Goodwin. Good to have you here to play our daft game for petrol heads, the right car for the job. Now,
it's a very serious game.
It's a very serious game. So, Colin, I think most people listening will be familiar with your name and your work. Certainly TI subscribers will be very familiar with you and who you are. But for those who don't know, can you give us 30 seconds on who you are and what you do, please?
Well, I started in journalism at Car Magazine, and then I went to Autocar so that I could work with Andrew Frankel, who'd gone by the time I got
who'd
there.
Who'd left? So cracking timing.
And then I went freelance 20 years ago. And I've worked for all sorts of people since then, and I am now motoring editor of lots of tabloid newspapers. And every week I get to drive exciting Volkswagen Group crossovers and and try and work out what's different about them.
And yeah. When they're the same. Enthusiasm for them.
Yeah, and I have to drive electric cars, but, it's life. You can't have control over everything.
Yeah. Well, as people will quickly learn throughout the course of this game, I'm sure, Goodwin would far rather drive something with a V8 than a motor and a battery. So we are playing the right car for the job. Andrew, we've played this game once before. It was a pilot run, wasn't it? We just sort of made it up in about half an hour.
Could you just remind me who won?
I can't remember, actually. I've been racking my brains all morning. I can't remember.
I think you'll find it was me. I'm very good at this.
I'm glad you remembered. But we've made improvements, okay? So people had seemed to enjoy this game the first time around. And lots of people got in touch to say, it was fun, do this and it will make it better. So one of the things that we're going to do is, it's called incomplete information, I think I've got that right, where it's a sort of game principle. And so to that end, we have many, many more cars to draw from the hat, as it were, than we need. We have many, many more driving scenarios than we need. So even I've prepared these this morning. Even I don't know what's coming. Okay, so there's no home advantage for me. And the jeopardy, every game needs jeopardy. Okay, now there'll be no terrible downside for whoever loses this game, apart from the shame of it. But the jeopardy is finding yourself with only an AMC Pacer and a Citroen Ami left in your arsenal. And the driving scenario is escape from the police, right? So that's where the sort of tension comes from. So you have to... You have to be sparing with your choice of car, okay? So there's judgment involved here.
Yeah, but, well, you, at the same time, you don't want to be left with an F-40 and have to take your
there you go.
Entire family on holiday, do you?
There you go.
You don't know what scenario is coming
next. I don't see a
next.
Problem with that.
Goodwin's okay with that. So, yeah, that's right. We don't know what's coming. That's why we're guessing. That's where the uncertainty is, and hopefully that's where the fun is. So, first thing...
So can I also say, any cars in any scenario that don't get used this time, we'll just use them next time.
We'll use them next time, yeah. Maybe with another guest. So, I think we'll do 8 driving scenarios and 8 cars each because we've got another player. If we have time, maybe we'll do another one at the end. So, to get us underway, I'm going to draw cars out of the hat. Actually, it's a plastic bowl. Starting with Andrew, then we'll go to Goodwin, then we'll go to me. So, Frankel, you need to write this one down. This is your first car. Lamborghini Diablo SV.
Ooh. Okay.
Goodwin, your first one. BAC Mono. My first one is a 1950s Fiat 500. Fine. Andrew. Oh, God. Mercedes SLS AMG Black Series.
Ooh.
Yeah, but we don't know what the driving scenarios are going to be, do we?
I don't mind.
Oh, Goodwin. You've got my favourite. Nissan 200SX S13 pop-up headlamps.
Oh, is that the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had one and ruined it. For me, Jaguar E-Type. Series 1, 3.8, flat floor coupe. Andrew?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Aston Martin V12 Vantage original, so 6-speed manual.
Liking it.
Cole, VW Lupo GTI. For me, a late 1990s Toyota Century V12.
Andrew, you put that in?
You'll be pleased. 1948 Land Rover.
Very good.
Yep. Colt, 1980s Lada Niva. You'll be pleased with that, I'm sure. For me, a Ferrari 348.
Ooh.
Andrew, oh, you've got a bit more variety here. Late 1990s Vauxhall Amiga V6.
Late 90s Amiga V6. Okay.
Colt, Ford Focus RS Mark 1. Oh, God. Me... BMW X6, a current one?
Ugh.
No, it's not. I put that in. It's the first one.
Oh, fine. Okay. I wasn't sure, so I guessed. First one. Okay. Andrew, Tesla Model S Plaid. Goodwin. Rimac Nevera. That's the creation.
It's an electric car, Cole.
Electric hypercar. It's got 2,000 horsepower. Rimac Never with an A on the end.
Never. Is that Nevera. The one Hammond? Crash.
Yeah. No, well, he...
A descendant thereof.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This one was intended for you, but it's landed with me. Holden Maloo.
Oh, wow.
Andrew, your joke has backfired because you've got the Suzuki X90.
Shit. Well, there might be a push them off a cliff scenario.
Well, we'll see. Cole, 1990s Renault Laguna V6.
Oh, wow.
I've got... yippee! Citroen Ami, that's the new electric one.
And there's one more to go each, and then we're done.
Yeah, this is your last one, Andrew.
Go on.
Oh, you'll be pleased. McLaren M8F Can-Am car. This one's road legal.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Cole, Audi R8 V8 manual, original.
Mm-hmm.
Deary me. And my last one. Oh, God. Okay, well, I stand no chance. I've got the AMC Pacer.
You've got the Pacer and the Ami.
Yes.
Now, I don't often feel sorry. So you've got a 348, an X6, an Ami, and a Pacer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You started out with a lot of very hot stuff, Andrew, but I think it sort of tailed off through the middle, didn't it?
We're ending with an M8F. I'm perfectly happy with that.
Cole, happy with what you've got?
Yeah. I've driven nearly all of them except 2.
Good. Okay. All right, well... Let's get on then. So I'm going to draw the first driving scenario out of the hat. And we all have to nominate one car. Whoever is judged to have nominated the best car for the job, the right car for the job, wins the point. Whoever scores the most point wins the game. So driving scenario number one. It's a lap of the Nürburgring in the passenger seat with a driver who's never been there before, who thinks he is 7 times better than he actually is. So, take a moment to choose. I'm going to I'm going to do the same. Andrew, we'll come back. We'll go with you first, but we'll all just have a minute to look through our options. And I've chosen mine. Actually, mine's very straightforward.
Bloody hell, it's difficult.
Well, the point here is survival, isn't it? You just got to survive the lap. You've got an idiot driver who thinks he's way better than he is, doesn't know where he's going. He's trying hard to impress. We assume it's a he.
It will be a he.
Yeah.
If it's an idiot at the Nürburgring, it will be a he.
You're not looking for thrills. You're just looking to live.
You're just looking to live. But I could, you see, you also got to look in terms of what you guys are going to put in. You know, I could put forward something which is quite good, but I reckon I'm going to get trumped by at least one of you. Because, I mean, Dan, you're going in the Ami, aren't you? Because A, you're not going to die in it because it won't go fast enough because the entire lap will be flat. And B, you get rid of the Ami. It's a win-win for you, isn't it? So at which stage...
It's not worth discussing because I've got the absolute natural car for this. Just leapt off the page, as we say in our business.
Okay, well, Andrew, it's you first.
I'm going first. X90. Because I'm just throwing it because I just want to get rid of it. So I'm not going to win this round, but I get rid of the X90.
Okay, there's a bit of a rollover risk there, isn't there?
There is a bit of a, but it's really not very fast, and it's front-wheel drive, and it'll just understeer everywhere. And the X90 is... Cole, were you on AutoCar when we did our top 10s in various classes, and we created a Suzuki X90 class because we couldn't think of one to put it in, and in the top 10 cars in the Suzuki X90 class, there was only the Suzuki X90, and we placed it at 11th.
No, I don't think so. I think I was at car when we were...
Resulted in Suzuki pulling all its advertising from AutoCar. So I was quite proud of.
No, I don't think I was. I think I was at car when we had it in the good, bad and the ugly with a very good comment, but I can't remember what it was.
Okay, sorry. Well, okay, so who's up next? Is Cole up next?
Cole's up next, yeah.
Okay. I was thinking about the Niva because it'd be very slow, but it will definitely crash. There's no way it won't. Some of my stuff is too fast, but the perfect choice is my Laguna V6.
Ooh.
Very unreliable car. Probably won't start, so I'll be got off the hook in the first.
So you won't even get to the Hudson back.
Yeah, probably won't be in Germany. But if it's quite a big, I mean, it's reasonably quick, but it's quite big, so it'd be quite good in the accident. Probably got quite good airbags. It's just Lupo GTI, quite good, but too small, you know, be bad in an accident.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about the accident, really.
Yes.
And how easy it'll be for me to knock it out of gear and
pull the handbrake on.
So, yeah, the Laguna's just perfect.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I am going with the Citroen Ami because it's only... Okay, so downhill, there are some long downhill sections. It might do 33.
No, it won't, because it's limited.
No, I've seen 33 miles an hour in an Ami. No question.
Yeah. It is a question. I think this disqualifies it. Okay.
Will it get round?
Will it do a lap? I don't think it would.
A lap's 13 miles, isn't it?
Flat strap, though. And it has to be driven, you know, whoever's in it has to be driving, trying to drive it fast. I mean, I think that's inherent within the question.
Well, it doesn't go, you can't go any sort of faster because it's so slow.
Yeah. Would it even get up the hill from Bergwerk?
It would chug its way along. It would chug its way along. Actually, it's debatable that it would do an entire lap. I think you're quite right.
I don't think it'd do a lap. I think it'd do something else.
No. But the thing, okay, so the reason for choosing the Ami is that it's so slow, it will only...
I would have voted for the Ami, but I'm now going to vote for the Laguna on the basis of the Ami disqualifies itself because it won't do it. It can't actually do what's being asked of it.
Okay, who do you vote for, Cole?
What was Andrew's one again?
I'm in the X90.
Oh, yeah. The risk of somebody who knows you. I mean, there's a lot of people, engineers work at the Nürburgring. There's a good chance someone's going to turn up who knows you and they'll see you in an X90. I'm going to choose my own one, I think.
Okay, well, I choose mine, but I'm outvoted. So Goodwin wins that one. Well done, Cole. So 1 point for Goodwin.
Because there are three of us on the eight rounds. We're going to have a winner, aren't we?
Is that right?
I would have thought so.
Scenario number two. Car in which to be driven to your own funeral, your final ride.
I won this. I have just bloody won this.
Actually, no, I have. Sorry, I've won this.
Yeah, I know I've won this because Colin's going to vote for me too.
I know what you're going to say. No. I know what he's going to say.
He's going to vote for me. Okay, well, let's have yours then, Andrew. Car to be driven to your own funeral in.
Do I get to choose my driver as well?
If you want to. Extra detail.
Only because I've seen him drive something pretty similar to it beautifully. I'm going to get Karun to drive me in an M8F.
Well, you just propped up next to him.
I'll just be propped up next to him. It'll be fantastic.
Cable ties.
I'm going to my funeral in an M8F. I'm afraid it's... I mean, can I suggest you two don't even bother?
Okay.
There's just no point. I have one.
Okay, that's a good option. Carl, what's yours?
Oh, I hadn't thought because I was busy knowing that Andrew would...
Well, if you want to, you can just burn one. That is allowed in this game.
Don't have to make sure you're really actually dead, because I would probably wake up again if I...
What's yours, Carl?
Could be too morbid not to go in a box. Could I just be strapped in?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, don't you? It could be on the wing, on the back. No, just I think just bolt upright.
I think sat bolt upright.
We need to make sure Corinne's actually up for it. Up for this? It's a bit dark.
He'd be up for it. He'd be up for it.
Come on then, Carl.
There's no real obvious. I think I might just go for the Lupo GTI.
Okay, so you're burning it.
I think all my friends would be just sat there at the funeral wondering why, knowing that I'd predetermine what I wanted to be taken just to the bone orchard in. I think they just would be standing around going, what's that about?
So just confuse them all one more time. Okay, well, I've won this one because I'm going Holden Maloo, because my casket could poke out the back of the flatbed. Also, V8 power, and it's important to me that on my final journey, I'm not holding up traffic. So we'll actually
I've got a V8 too. But I've got
I don't think you'd be
horsepower.
Holding up traffic in an M8F.
No, I know, but you will in a Lupo, maybe, or certainly a hearse.
Okay, that's an argument for not coming last. It's not an argument for winning.
So, all right, well, I think you're going to vote for yourself, Andrew.
Yeah, funnily enough.
Carl?
M8F.
Oh, God. I like the image of my casket poking out the back of a Holden Maloo ute.
So do I. But not as much as I like the idea of taking my last M8F. Journey in an M8F.
Okay, all right.
Well, just quickly aside, if I keel over before you guys, which I probably will, could you arrange this actually in real life?
The Lupo. You want the Lupo?
Thank you, Andrew.
Okay. Yeah, with Karun, or would you, or your driver au choix? Is there anyone alive today who used to race an M8F?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Jackie,
there'll be lots of sort of inter-series type guys.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Jackie used to do a lot of Can-Am, but I don't think he drove an M8F.
What
he?
About David Hobbs?
David Hobbs.
Oh, no, I've got it. Lothar Mosschenbacher.
Lothar Mosschenbacher. I knew you'd get him in here somewhere.
Right. Okay. Before we get into the Can-Am thing too much, let's get on. Okay. Car to drive across America with the most boring person you've ever met sitting next to you. So that's days, isn't it? It's days in a car. With a very tedious person. Well, I've got the winning answer. I'm not gonna choose the Ami.
No, funnily enough, you wouldn't live long enough. I don't think you would. If you tried to drive across America in an Ami, I wouldn't. I don't think I've got enough life expectancy left. So what do we want here? I think you just want the noisiest, best sounding car you can get. So you don't have to listen to him.
Okay. Well, that's going to become tiresome over several days.
Not as tiresome as having the most boring person who's ever been born sitting next to you.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, you're up, Andrew.
Well, I think it also needs to be slightly civilised.
Does it?
So, well, yeah, I think it's because it's a long old way, isn't it? So on the basis of noise and with a veneer of civilisation, I'm going to take my V12 Vantage. I think it'll be absolutely lovely. I can listen to that beautiful 6-litre V12 howling away.
Okay.
I'll probably see if I can fit some straight pipes on it. More than enough to drown out the tedious bore in the passenger seat.
Okay. Goodwin, what are you having?
It's really difficult. I mean, a BSE mono would be ideal.
he wouldn't, because he'd have to go piggyback, Cole.
Well, he can't actually come.
Well, he can't not be in the car, so you'd either have to strap him to it, or have him on your shoulders, or you on his shoulders.
Okay, I take your point. This is a really difficult task.
God, he's agonizing. I think
possibly the Rimac. How much power did you say it's got?
2,000 horsepower.
Yeah, it might be. It'd probably be frightened the whole time.
You can literally scare him into silence.
Yeah, I think so.
But think of all that conversation you have to have while it was charging. Think of all the conversations you'd have to have sitting there having coffee in roadside diners while this thing charged up for hours on end.
Yeah. Okay.
Andrew, that's not how we play this game.
I think it's called reality, isn't it? You've got to think these things through.
Yeah, but you're not being tactical. He would have lost that one.
Well, you don't know. No, okay. That's a good point. I'm going to take the Audi.
Okay.
The Audi R8?
Yeah.
Oh, well, at least you'll have fun. Okay, I'm taking my late 1990s Toyota Century V12 because I at least want to be comfortable. And it's got a V12, so it's going to get a bit of a move on. So it's not going to take forever. Well, a bit.
But you'll be able to hear him.
Well, that's true, but I'll be comfortable.
You'll be able to hear every word he says. You'll never be able to shut him up because he'll never make any noise.
No. Also, he's driving. I'm asleep. I've got my feet. You know, they've got that thing that folds out of the front seat. So I'm in the back seat with my feet on the squab of the front seat, asleep. He's talking all he likes. I can't hear a thing. Ergo, I win. Andrew, who are you voting for?
I'm voting for me.
Okay, Carl, who are you voting for?
What was your one again, Andrew?
V12 Vantage. Manual for Gen 1 Aston V12 Vantage.
No, I'm going to go with Dan.
Oh, there we go. So am I. So it's one apiece.
One round each.
One apiece. Well done, everybody. It's a good start. We've got five to go. Five driving scenarios, five cars. And, this one's a good one. This one is a good one. Have I got anything appropriate? Oh, God. No. Okay, beat Tiff Nadell's McLaren F1 195 mile an hour lap of Millbrook Bowl. Okay, but there's a twist here because you're not allowed to go. It's not possible. I'm not trying. If you manage it, there's £1 million prize.
Okay, so you've got to have a car which will do at least 210. Yeah, because otherwise it simply won't do it because of the lateral scrub.
Yeah,
it simply won't even get to that speed, let alone maintain it. And I haven't got one of those.
No. Carl?
Yeah, well, this will combine with the... This could lead us into the funeral.
So you're going to take... What car did you choose for your funeral? Oh, the Lupo. So we'll just leave you in the Lupo.
Yeah, not the one that I'd killed myself going around Millbrook in. Well, it'll have to be the Rimac.
Oh, of course.
It won't do it, because it'll... No.
You'll just scare yourself absolutely witless.
You do have two people who have held the Guinness Book of Records record for a closed circuit lap in Britain.
Yeah, it's you two, isn't it? So who did...
We are both genuinely Guinness World Record holders for that particular thing. So we know what we're talking about.
Exactly what you're talking about. So did Tiff nick one of your records?
You nicked Collins. Colin did mine, and Tiff nicked Coles.
I was on holiday yonks ago. And somebody had a Guinness Book of Records. I was sat in an armchair in the evening, flicking through it. And I saw Frankel in there. And I absolutely spat my coffee out. I'm not having that. So I went and immediately went home and started plotting to break it. And that's what Tiff did.
Yeah. Can I just say now, because actually you and I have never had this out in public. So we're going to do it now. You cheated.
I beg your pardon?
You cheated. The record is for the fastest lap of a UK circuit by a production car. You did it, I seem to remember, in a Jaguar XJ220S, of which I think three were made.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how you call that a production car.
Do you want to come back?
I drove it there. It's just a variation on the theme.
No.
I think it was an XJ220C, wasn't it?
I think it was an S. I don't even know what an XJ220C is.
Nor do I.
How fast did you go, Cole?
Oh, I did 175 average. Cole, you did 180?
184 or something.
Bloody hell. So actually not far off, Tiff, 11 miles an hour.
I did it in a 512 TR, which really was a production car. Yeah, but I mean, honestly, what Colin and I did was you know, I think it was a little ambitious and quite interesting, but what Tiff did was just ridiculous. Yeah. I think he said it was the most stupid thing he's ever done in a car. Yeah, the most dangerous thing he's ever done in a car.
So what does it take? It's a horrible bowl, isn't it? It's tight. It's not an enormous one. Is it a mile?
2 miles round.
Two miles round.
So you've got a hands-off speed in lane five of 100 miles an hour. So anything above 100 miles an hour, you're going around a corner.
Yeah.
So by the time you're doing 180, which is what you need to be doing in parts of it, even to do what I did, you are cornering as hard as the car will corner, which is why you get all this massive tire scrub, which is why cars never get anywhere near their top speed. You also run out of suspension travel. And you also, particularly back then, you are so marginal on tyres because you're putting loads through the outside tyres they were never, ever designed to cope with. So it is such a sketchy thing to do. I mean, I was 26 when I did it. And at the time, I thought, I'm too old for this.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, you two are brave. Fair play to you both. I'm glad I chose that one. That was one of my driving scenarios. So that worked quite well, didn't it? But so what are you nominating, Andrew?
Oh, you're talking to me? Oh, yeah. I'm going to take my Omega V6 because none of us are going to get anywhere near it. So none of us are getting £1 million. So, you know, so the competition is pointless. So I'm going to be comfortable and I'm going to get rid of a crap car. I'm going to take my Omega V6, which actually has a really, really, it's an Omega V6, not a straight six. Do you remember, Cole, the Carlton 24 valve? And there was an Omega 24 valve with that lovely straight six.
Oh.
And we used to put it, I mean, this car was so good. We used to put it up against, you know, 535i's and that sort of thing, and E34s, and it often as not would win. So,
Do you think they're very cheap now?
Peanuts, absolute buttons for them, I would think.
Oh,
good car to have. Anyway, so that's what I'm taking. I'm taking my Omega, my six-cylinder Omega, and I'm hoping whoever said V meant straight.
No, you can get a V6 Omega because it's the later.
But it's the later generation. Yeah, I know. Yeah, which is nothing like as nice. It doesn't got that lovely straight six engine in it.
There you go. Goodwin, are you taking the Rimac?
Yeah, I.
So you're having a go.
I mean, it's a bit of a. It's just going to pop its tyres. It's going to be a massive accident.
Do we think that's the issue then? Because the car will do 250 miles. Not there, but it will do 250 miles an hour. So it's got the power. It's got the speed. But surely it'll do one lap at that speed.
I think it would be. I really don't know. The thing is, I did it when I was 32 or something. I don't think I've got any braver.
No.
I know I've got a lot less brave.
I'd give it a go, I think, but I think your chances of going faster than 195 are pretty slim.
Yeah. Remember, there's £1 million. There's £1 million. You only have to do one lap.
Oh, I forgot about that bit. Yeah, I'll give it a go.
Okay, well, I'm burning one. I'm taking the AMC Pacer. Tactical.
I mean, I hate to vote for somebody else, though. I do. It has to be Colin, because he is the only one who has any chance at all.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Colin, it doesn't matter who you're voting for because I'm voting for you, so you win that one.
Good.
Right.
Wow. Okay. That got exciting.
So we're halfway through the competition.
Okay. Right. So, number five. This is set up nicely. Your own wedding day.
To or from? I think it's very different. Yeah, because you arrive one without your missus and you leave the other with it.
I see it's Shane.
So it's leaving the chapel.
So I arrived at my wedding in a Aston Martin DB24 Mark III, and I left it in a 2CV.
Nice. Very nicely done. But what are you choosing this time?
Well, you haven't told me whether I'm arriving at my wedding or leaving.
Yeah, you're leaving the chapel with
with my beloved by my side. Oh, it's easy. I've won this. I'm picking the Landy. 1948 Landy. I mean, what better thing? It's slow, it's beautiful, it's British. Everybody will be able to see her in her finery, wave to the crowds. We'll have the roof off. It will be completely stripped back.
And it'll break down. I think it's an extremely bad omen for the start of married life.
It won't break down. It won't break
down.
The
start of your, the transfer gearbox will go after about an hour.
Well, it doesn't matter if it goes after an hour. All I've got to do is get out. I've just got to leave my wedding, 100 yards down the road. I have technically left my wedding.
And then you can get in a real car.
Absolutely.
Cole, then I'll have. So yes, definitely the Landy.
Cole, what are you having?
Mono?
No, obviously that's out of the question.
I was wondering where you might park her if it was.
Not the BAC Mono.
Lada Neve is a bit sort of try too hard.
What to be, yeah.
Yeah.
It's also not going to beat the Landy.
Well, I suppose if yeah.
He's thinking hard about this one.
Can we edit these bits out?
I think we're going to have to.
Colin's thinking time.
Yeah. Well, you just can't rush into these. It's quite, you know, it's a significant day of your life. And you're going to have a lot of friends around. Incidentally, so, Andrew, you were at my wedding. Do you remember what we left in?
I think we went to left in James's Bentley, didn't we?
No, arrived in that.
Oh, okay.
And departed in a Hindustan Ambassador.
Oh, well, there you go. I don't remember that.
I'm going to take the Neva.
So you're being contrary.
Yeah.
You're playing down the whole situation.
He's following my lead.
I'm taking my 1950s Fiat 500. I think that'll be quite sweet.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think your missus is going to thank you.
Well, she might. I don't know. Okay, but who are you voting for? You're going to vote for yourself again, aren't you?
100%. Andrew. Yeah. Well, it's the best
Dan. Dan.
You're voting for me? Ooh. Well, I'm voting for me as well, so that's mine. Jolly good.
What?
Sorry, Andrew. It's a democratic process.
It's a stitch-up, that's what it is.
No, it's a democratic process.
It's a stitch-up.
Right, here we go. Number six.
I own a 1950s Fiat 500, but that is just...
I've had one as well.
That's it's only because Dan lost last time and he can't bear the idea and he's just trying to engineer things so it doesn't happen again.
Andrew, it's 2-1. Majority rules. So
it's an utterly romantic car.
And a 1948 Land Rover isn't.
No. Nor is the Neva.
Okay. Car to get away from a bank robbery with your three co-conspirators. It's raining and for some reason in this parallel universe, the cops all have Mitsubishi Evo 6 Tommy Mäkinens.
I'm in the Tesla. Christ. I got my Model S plaid. I'm gone.
Well, that's probably a good option, isn't it?
A bazillion horsepower. Lots of space. I've gone. Beat that.
Cole?
I'm getting... Well, now we're over halfway. I'm running. My choices are...
Yeah.
Well, I think given that you've got three people with you, I don't think you've got a choice but to take the Focus, have you?
Exactly. But I think that would be a very good... choice anyway. They're quite discreet.
Would you fancy yourself to get away from a handful of Tommy Mäkinens in a Mark 1 Focus RS?
I think so, because police aren't very good drivers, in my experience.
They'll be shuffling the wheel too much, won't they?
They'll be shuffling. There'll be a lot of shuffling going on.
it's about the getaway, and you've got front wheel drive, and it's wet.
It's got a tight diff, though.
Yeah, very tight
doesn't matter.
Diff. Cracking for handbrake turns.
Yeah, but... You've already been caught by then, because their Tommy Max have just already overtaken you and driven in front of you.
Most of them will have crashed them.
They're quite hairy cars, actually, those Tommy Max. Okay.
The other big problem is, I presume they don't drive them all the time. They'd be massively overexcited that they're in such.
True.
I mean, the one thing you must pray for if you're a copper in cars is a chase.
Yeah.
Every morning of the week, you must get up and think, please, I hope I'm going to get a proper chase today.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you get called to a robbery and you're in your Mäkinen red and there's a villain really up for it and a Focus RS, they'll just be so excited they'll crash.
They would, wouldn't they? Yeah, they would. I think you're right. Okay, well, I'm using the BMW X6 because it's the only car I've got that will carry the loot and my co-conspirators. Andrew, who are you voting for?
Me. Model S plaid. Focus RS X6.
I'm going for the... you're going to hate me for this. I'm going to go for the X6 because anybody boring enough to have bought one of those couldn't possibly have robbed a bank.
Okay, well, I could vote for myself here and take another win, but Andrew, I think you've got the right car for the job. That's what this game is called, the right car for the job. And I think, well, you've got 1,000 horsepower, electric Model S plaid, four-wheel drive. Yeah, that's the one. Okay, so...
It's two all.
It is. My God, finally poised.
Finally poised. Two rounds to go. So one of us is going out this round.
Okay, now this is a very important one. A very important one. This is the penultimate one. Car in which to be driven by your daughter's new fiancé to see whether he's really fit for her hand in marriage. So, you want to see what he's made of, don't you? You want to see whether he's... fit for marrying your daughter. Can he drive a car properly? So it needs to be a test of his driving ability.
Yeah. With at the same time, if it turns out that he can't drive, some chance of survival.
Well, that would be better, wouldn't it?
Are we in the car with him?
Yes, he's driving you.
You are, yes. Okay. Which does limit things a bit for you, Carl.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, Dan, you've got a choice. okay, well, on the basis that if it goes wrong, I'm probably going to survive, unlike my last remaining choice, and it will be a genuine test of his driver ability, I'm taking the SLS AMG Black.
Oh,
you must be wow. mad.
Bloody hell. Carl, what have you got?
It'd have to be my Nissan 200SX, which I think will be absolutely perfect.
Brilliant. Yeah, brilliant. Not too valuable either.
It's my only choice, but I think it's a really, really good one.
I had one of those. Do you know what? You cannot find a standard one of those now. They just don't exist. They've all been totally ruined, and I am responsible for ruining at least one of them. I had, when I was 18, I bought one for £1,500, just had an engine rebuild. It was immaculate, really lovely, tidy, standard, clean car. And of course, I ripped the interior out. I put a stupid exhaust on it. I did all sorts of dreadful things to it that couldn't be reversed, and sold it for half the money I paid for it, having driven it about 15 miles ever.
I've jogged my memory, boys. Was there a 180SX?
There was, but I don't know if we had it here. I think maybe it was a JDM.
It wasn't sold in the UK.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm nominating my Jaguar E-Type Series 1 3.8 flat floor coupe because it's not a straightforward car to drive well. I want to know that this lad can operate a motor vehicle skillfully, okay? And that's going to take some skill. Andrew, who are you voting for?
I think I'm voting for you.
Oh, so is Cole. Oh, there we go. Well, so am I then. Well, I've got three.
Oh, hang on. So we could have a draw, couldn't we? So okay. If there's a draw,
yeah,
at the end of it, we'll do one. What we have to do is whoever can't win drops out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll do one joker round. There we go. Well, we're learning with this game, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the last one then. I'm through to the final. Only one of you can join me. And the driving scenario is... Bear with me. Oh! Now, you might say this is impossible. And certainly with the only car... Well, we only have one car left, don't we, each of us? So you're trying to break Stirling Moss's Mille Miglia record... 1955, he did it in 10 hours, 7 minutes. It was 992 miles, so he averaged about 100 miles an hour. Do you reckon you can do that in your one remaining car, Andrew?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
What have you got?
Got Diablo SV.
Oh, my God. Would you take that on? Would you try that?
Well, I think, according to this list I've got here, I don't have a choice, but yes, absolutely. Closed roads, lap of Italy in an SV, bring it on. That'd be fantastic. One of my favourite Lamborghinis. If it was almost any other Diablo, apart from an SE30, if it was just like a standard Diablo VT with four-wheel drive, it'd be horrible. But an SV would be absolutely cracking. Okay. So that was the one. That was the light one with the short gears. Yeah. Yeah. It was like a club sport, wasn't it? Because it would actually cost less than the standard car. Rear drive only. Absolutely lovely thing.
Wow. I had an off in one of those in Italy.
What, were you trying to match Stirling Moss around the millimeter?
No, I wasn't, and I was a long way off having completed 1,000 miles.
I had an off in a VT in Italy.
Mm.
My God!
I drove off the road into a field and across the field and back onto the road at the other end. Didn't damage a thing, but it was technically an off.
Cole, what's your one remaining car?
Well, I've only got a BSA Mono, which would Ooh. Be
you can't have Jenks with you.
No, but that's probably not a bad thing. I think it would stand a better chance of going 1,000 miles.
BAC Mono. That would be much faster. Well, I stand no chance, but it doesn't matter. I'm in a Ferrari 348. At which mile marker am I going off, Andrew?
Well, you'll be somewhere between Brescia and Cremona, I would think. Luckily, you run it that way. It runs clockwise, because if it ran anti-clockwise, one of the first things you come across would be the Fouta Pass.
Oh.
And you wouldn't even get to the top of that, let alone down the other side.
Okay. All right. So
it's amazing we've all actually got cars that...
Can do it.
Could do it.
What, a Ferrari 348? Well, okay.
Well, Dan, basically it's down to you, because I'm going to vote for me. Cole's going to vote for himself.
Are you voting for yourself, Cole?
I have to. If I don't want to. I actually want to vote for Andrew, but if I do that, then I automatically lose.
Okay, well, that's true. Well, I'm torn here because I think it's important to have a navigator. However, the Mono would be a hell of a lot faster than the Diablo.
But you don't have to be faster. You just have to be able to match Stirling's time. and the Diablo will do that, and you can have a navigator, and you won't get utterly exhausted, and drive off the side of a mountain.
Well, you make a strong argument, Andrew, but I think the Mono is that much faster that I'm giving it to Goodwin. Well done, Goodwin. So
it's a stitch up.
Andrew's out.
It's Andrew's a stitch out. Up. It's only because I won effort. Last time.
No, not at all. Not at all. A valiant effort.
I don't think I'm a bad loser or anything here.
No, but you do still have voting rights in this Joker round in the final.
Oh, do I?
You do. Well, no, we need
so
you to.
I'm voting for Colin.
No. You vote for whoever chooses the right car for the job. Come on. You know how that works. So
he's our guest.
So we need...
And he
we
didn't need, lose last time. And he, so we need, stitch, he didn't stitch me up this time.
So we need one more car each. Colin, this one's yours. You've got a Range Rover L322, so that's the third generation Range Rover.
Ooh.
I've got the least 911 911. It's a Carrera 4 Cabriolet PDK.
I can imagine what that job that'll be good for, but we've got to be politically correct. Right?
We do. And the driving scenario is working for the summer as a window cleaner.
Well, congratulations, Goodwin. Thank you so much for coming on. You've won our competition.
Goodwin's going to vote for himself. Andrew's clearly voted for him. I mean, obviously, a Range Rover is a better car for that job. Colin Goodwin wins the right car for the job.
Well done, Colin. Well, masterly done.
Expertly played.
Actually, it was expertly played because I had easily the best draw. You didn't, and you just played your hand very, very well with just a little bit of help from Dan.
Well, it's a bit of luck, really. Very lucky to be. I think it really hung on the Millimelia one.
It did. That was the crucial one.
You know, to, as any consolation, I think Dan's wrong. I would have gone in the Diablo.
Yes.
Well, it doesn't matter now. It's too late. It's far too late. We're not going back and changing the result now like they do in F1. Well, there we go. I mean, what we are forgetting is that Goodwin didn't live long enough to spend his summer as a window cleaner, having gone over the railing at 240 miles an hour in the Rimac Nevera at the Millbrook Bowl, and then carted off to the Bone Orchard in a Lupo GTI. So you do win it, Colin, but you've also lost your life in the process.
Okay. What a way to go.
What a way to go.
There we go. Colin, that was good fun. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for coming on, Cole.
That was excellent. We'll do it again sometime. Thanks for your time, Colin. And Andrew, we've got a bit more to talk about. Well, now that Goodwin is gone, having totally schooled us in the game that we created,
yes.
Andrew, we're going to carry on with this episode of the podcast with What Goes Up. Now, for those that don't know, What Goes Up is a new occasional segment on the podcast. And why have we called it What Goes Up, Andrew? I suppose it's because it's about market trends, it's about car values, but it's not investing advice. And that's why it's called What Goes Up, because it's a bit silly, it's a bit glib.
It also
what
first,
goes up has to come
it
down.
It also
again.
First yep. must come down, yes.
Yeah. So this is not investing advice, it's just an opportunity to look around the marketplace at sectors and at models that we find interesting and just see what values are doing and see if these cars are becoming more or less desirable.
Yeah, and also trying to find the odd car which for whatever reason appears to be over or undervalued or maybe just not worth what people might think.
Yeah, and to make it a sort of rigorous thing, we are using data, really good quality data from some of our partners. In this case, we're talking about the Porsche 911 Carrera GTS, the 997, launched in 2010.
Yeah.
And we've got some excellent data from JBR Capital. Now, JBR Capital, it's their job to understand car values. If they're not doing that job well, they're not going to be in business for very long. So we've got really good, robust data from JBR Capital on this car. Now, the 997 GTS is a really interesting case because ignoring Porsche Motorsport models, the GT3s, the GT3 RSs, it is the 997, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. It's the first time I think Porsche had used a GTS badge on a car since the 904 from the mid-1960s. And you can actually be a bit sort of sniffy about that GTS because it's not like the current GTS, which is genuinely a bit different to any other sort of standard 911. It was a bit of a parts bin special. There was very little on it, if anything, apart from sort of trim and that sort of thing, which you couldn't option into an S. But the point was, it all came together with a unique look, but also for an awful lot less money. So there was a power upgrade, but there was an upgrade kit you get on this, but for a lot less money. So if you tick the box to get all those bits on this, it cost you a lot more than you could the GTS. And it was just like Porsche going, okay, this car is coming to an end. It was absolutely a run-out special. And so this is what we think is the optimally configured 997. So it was the back end of the Gen 2 of the 997 before, you know, the entire 911 offer got changed with, you know, with obviously with the 991 and with electric power steering and longer wheelbase and everything else. So, yeah, and it's a fabulous car.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think I've driven one, but
okay. So I mean, look obviously,
it looks perfect.
And I'll say this about the GTS, but pretty much it applies to all 911s. You know, they made the GTS available, you know, with all the body styles and with two-wheel drive and four-wheel drive. So what you want, and you know, and the values, I'm afraid, will reflect this because it's what everybody wants, is a manual rear drive coupe. You can get four-wheel drive cars, you can get PDK cars, you can get cabriolets, you can get any combination of the above, but the one is a manual rear drive GTS coupe.
Indeed. So these cars, the 907 GTS started at £78,000 in 2010. Now, the reason for pulling out this particular model is that it seems almost impervious to depreciation. So a 2010 car is now 13 years old. So that's getting on, isn't it?
Yeah.
But values on these models are extraordinary. And the data we've got from JBR Capital shows that the average price now of one of these is £61,538. So that's lost, what, 15 grand, a little bit more in 13 years. So
it's a grand a year.
Yeah, so that's very, very slow depreciation.
And actually, it's not inflation adjusted, but actually there hasn't been much inflation. I mean, I know there's plenty at the moment, but over that period of time, there hasn't been huge amounts of inflation.
No.
And actually, what values, a thing to have.
Yeah, and values now... So over the last few years, they have increased in value by 4.4% over the last 3 years, the 997 GTS.
Yeah.
In the last 2 years, by 9.3%. So that means they really
It's reached the
rocketed,
bottom of the curve, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, they rocketed to a high point in the middle of last year. And in the last few months, they've started just nibbling down. Maybe that's to do with winter. Maybe that's to do with... the energy crisis or whatever, but prices
people
just
poor.
Softened ever so slightly in the last few months, but they're not going to crash. Now, this data from JBR Capital is to do, it relates to all 997 GTSs, right?
Yeah.
But when you look at cars individually, the cheapest of these are PDKs and probably cabriolets, and you can pick one up for about £50,000.
Yeah.
The PDK cars are much more common than the manual cars. On Auto Trader, for instance, there are 11 PDK cars and 3 manual cars.
Yeah.
So this becomes really interesting when we look at the 3 manual cars. You're paying a minimum of 75 grand for a manual coupe, right? That was about a 78 grand car before options when it was new. Now it's still 75. There are people out there.
And that's the least you're going to pay.
That's the least you're going to pay. Of course, that's the advertised price, but you're not going to pay much less.
And what sort of mileage are we talking about? Are we talking about a reasonably leggy car?
No, 30,000 miles for one of these. And that's the cheapest I could find.
Yeah.
So there are people out there who bought a great 911, 907 GTS, manual coupe, new in 2010 or 2011, have put 30, 50,000 miles on them, and they could flog them now for more or less what they paid.
Wow.
Isn't that extraordinary?
Well, it is. What is extraordinary is we're kind of used to that with GT3s, aren't we?
Yeah.
Because they're not as rare as people as they're perceived to be, because Porsche manage that sort of stuff very well. But they are regarded to be the special cars. Mm. Whereas a GTS is absolutely part of the mainstream run and run. It's a Carrera. Yeah. And yet, I mean, that is, gosh, can you imagine? I can remember when I first drove it, it was out in the US and I drove it up to the top of whatever hill we'd been driving up, parked at the top, and I just got on Twitter. And I got out of the car, a bit breathless, in the California sunshine, on top of some mountain, feeling pretty good about the world, and I just tweeted, you know, whatever it was, 911, GTS, all the car you'll ever need.
Yeah.
And actually, I stand by it. I stand by it. In many ways, it's a... it's a better car than a GT3.
Well, let me put that to the test, because the issue with the 997 GTS coupe manual is that they are so valuable, they have held their value so well,
yeah,
that 75, 80 grand, that's bottom of the GT3, 997 GT3 market.
That'll be a Gen 1, presumably.
Yeah, 3.6.
Yeah.
But for the same money, you could have a GT3, a full Porsche motorsport car.
Yeah.
And probably going to hold its value better over the years to come.
What, the GT3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would. I think you're absolutely right.
So which would you rather have?
It depends so much on circumstances, doesn't it? It depends whether you're using it as a daily driver or whether it's an occasional
Let's say it's your circumstances.
I probably have the GT3, but only because, you know, there's other stuff I have to drive every day, so it would be a recreation. And so the driving experience would be the single most important thing. Mm. But if someone was looking for a 911, a 997 from that sort of era, and needed it to do more than one thing, you know, it was meant to be a car which you go out and have some fun in, go to the pub in, but also a car which you might occasionally have to go and do a long journey in, or whatever. So it had a more general purpose. All financialists use aside, because I think you're right, I think GT3 would hold its value better for longer. But actually, just as a thing to have and knock about in for a number of different reasons, I'd have the GTS. I'd have the GTS, and I think you'd find, now GT3 RSs are a different thing, but I think you'd find that if you took a Gen 1 993 GT3 and a Gen 2 997 GT3 and a Gen 2 997 GTS, I think you definitely prefer driving the GT3, but I suspect the gap between them is nothing like as big as the perception would have it be.
So just looking at some JBR Capital data for the 997 GT3, spanning both models, the Gen 1 and the Gen 2, values of those are up 16% in 2 years. I've got the graph here, and the values for years and years just track straight and true, about £88,000. And then around late summer 21, they just go whoop, they just tick right up.
Yeah.
It's risen 16% in 2 years, up to £108,000, and they've tailed off, like the GTS, over the last few months, they've just tailed off a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see what they do longer term. But yeah, the GTS, bravo to anyone who spec'd a manual coupe all those years ago and is now sitting on a car that's worth the same money. That is superb.
I do actually know someone who's got one,
really?
Or certainly had one when he last, and he's quite vocal about it on social. And he's never getting rid of it, I don't think. Well, he'll probably not get in touch to say that he has, but he absolutely understands why that car is as good as it's suggested to be.
What Goes Up is sponsored this week by car finance specialist JBR Capital. We've been working with JBR Capital for a while now, and it's been a brilliant partnership for us. High-end car finance is all the company does, meaning it understands the car market and car buyers better than most. So before you buy your next sports car, supercar, classic car, luxury car, even a brand new car, go and see what JBR Capital can do for you on the finance side. Visit jbrcapital.com or click the link in description. And this bit is important. Tell them the Intercooler sent you. JBR Capital is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Okay, well, we've got a listener question coming up now, and we're staying on a 9/11 theme, actually. But before that, please remember to rate and review the podcast. I tell you every week because it's really important. You are doing it, and it is helping. Genuinely really is helping. Just rate and review the podcast, and also whether you listen to it on Spotify or Apple, just click the follow or subscribe button. That really helps. And remember to check out our beautiful website, the-intercooler.com, where we post brilliant car journalism daily by the best writing team in the business, the-intercooler.com, and you can start your 1 month free trial to see what it's all about. But the listener question, Andrew, comes from Tom Ensom, essentially saying, the 911, Porsche 911, with its rear engine configuration, is the most successful sports car. Why has nobody copied it? Really copied that 2+2 engine way out the back behind the rear axle line configuration. Is it because it took Porsche so long to make it work? Or is it because going up against the best in the business means you're only going to lose?
I think that there are certain types of cars, when they come to market and they're really, really good, everybody else thinks, I want a slice of that, so they pile in.
Mm.
And I think that just occasionally,
yeah.
And the other example that springs to mind is the MX-5, something comes to market which is just so good that actually any attempt to try to rival it, you're just going to come off second best because you're just going to be regarded as being a sort of a pretender to it.
Yeah.
I also think that because of the engine location, because of the flat six, it's not quite the only car ever to have a flat six. In fact, it's not even quite the only rear engine car to have a flat six. You know, Chevrolet Corvair, Tucker Torpedoes. But, you know, essentially, it is so synonymous that I just think that you're always going to come off second best. Mm-hmm. And I also think that the way that Porsche has evolved that car, they, you know, because the idea was so good, but actually the engineering was, and the way it has been engineered has been so good. It's just kept itself out there and up there. And I don't think that anyone's ever going to try and do that because you're always going to come off second best. Because people are always just going to go, well, fine, but why are you trying to copy a 911?
Mm. Yep. I think you're right. I think you're right. There you go, Tom. There's the answer to your question. Thanks for sending it in. Remember to get your questions across. We'll do it again next week.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.